Amen. Greetings in Jesus' name. I was encouraged this morning already in what God has shared with us. Last Sunday, I was wanting to be here, but I was not able to get up out of bed because of my back. But praise the Lord, I'm better today, so I'm able to be here and worship together and share together with you all. This is a day of joy and gladness for many reasons. But the one is, Brother Luke, we're going to heaven. We're going to go home soon. And we're going to get new bodies. Glory to God. It's also a day of gladness because today is a day of baptism for those who have been saved, those who have been born again and have cast their lot and their life in with Christ and are stepping forward today to be baptized. It's a day of gladness and joy. Amen. Well, I know we've been standing numerous times, but I would be glad if we could stand one more time to pray. Amen. Father, we do come in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving, Lord, and blessing and praise unto the Lamb of God who sitteth upon the throne. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus, worthy of our praise, worthy of our giving our all for you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you that you gave your all for us, Lord Jesus. And Father, we desire to give our all for you, Lord. Father, today as we're gathered here, we pray, Father, that you would minister your grace to each of our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that you would give a portion to each one, Lord. Father, you know why we're here. You know, Father, our frailties, our struggles, our battles, Lord. Our victories, Lord. Father, you know all about us. And so, Father, I pray today that you'd give a portion to each one, Lord. That none of us would go home empty. But, Father, that we could be ministered to by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Young and old alike, Father. Youth and children, mothers, wives, father, husbands, Lord. Father, each one can receive a blessing from your good hand today. Father, I pray that you would grant unto me grace, Lord, that I could share your word freely, truly, Lord, as it is, Father. Not adding anything to it or taking anything away. But, O God, that by your Spirit, you would anoint your word and leave us a blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought maybe I'd give the introduction in this matter. What if a well-known, honorable businessman who's been very successful in business. He's been in business for 30 or 40 years. He started out from scratch. Didn't just have it handed to him. But he worked faithfully, earnestly. And today he's a very wealthy man. What if this man would come to you and say, you know, I can share with you the things that I've learned over these years that will make you successful and make you prosperous in your business. He sees that I'm struggling along. And he comes with that offer and says, Aaron, I can share with you the things that I've learned, that you also can be successful and prosperous. Would I be interested? Would you be interested? I say, yes, tell me more. I'm interested. He says, well, if you'll follow my instructions, and if you'll do everything I tell you, I can guarantee you success. You will prosper. So I would say, yes. Tell me. Show me. And he would begin to mentor me and to show me. And I would begin to see fruit and blessing from following this man's wisdom, this man's knowledge. And my business would begin to prosper and be successful. And what if I also would become very wealthy in this world's good? Well, that might be quite an accomplishment, but it would not have much eternal value. There maybe could be some blessings that can be used from that prosperous business, resources and monies to do work in the kingdom of God. But it really would be temporal. It would vanish away. I couldn't take it with me. I'd leave it behind. Well, what if the God of heaven says to you and I, if you want to be successful and prosperous in your Christian life, if you will do what I tell you and what I show you, I can guarantee you success. Would you be interested? Do you want to be successful? Do you want to be prosperous? You know, sometimes Christians get into a bit of a rut. And we're sort of stuck. And we're putting forth effort and we're laboring, but we're not really prospering. We're not really moving forward. And sometimes maybe we even become a bit discouraged in the battle and in the race. Well, I believe that God has shown us and given us His Word that if we will follow His commandments, we can be successful and prosperous in our Christian life. Open your Bibles to 3 John for a scripture. 3 John and let's read just the first two verses for now. 3 John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. John is writing to this well-beloved Gaius, and he's saying, my desire for you, my wish for you, is above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want to see you, Gaius, continue in that love of truth and in that walking of truth. He says, I greatly rejoice, verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. And as thou walkest in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Gaius, my burning desire of my heart is that you may prosper. That your soul may prosper. And that you may prosper and be in health. When we look at Paul's heart over in Ephesians 3. Let's turn over there. Here we can hear the burning passion of Paul to the Ephesian Christians. Starting in Ephesians 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Just hear the passion of his heart. You Ephesian brothers and sisters, oh, I long for you all, that your spiritual life may be prospering, that you be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in your inner man. His longing desire that they would grow in Christ, in faith, rooted and grounded in love, and that they would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of this love of God. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Dear Ephesians, Christians, believers at Ephesus, oh, I want to see you prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many more we could turn to. You know, I can say this morning, as I considered the baptism today, I thought especially of those getting baptized today. There is nothing more that we older ones and all of us together here in the church family want to see those that are stepping into the baptismal waters today. We want to see them grow up in Christ in all things. We want to see them put their roots down deep in Christ and to be rooted and grounded in Jesus. We want to see their spiritual life prosper. We want to see him make advances for the kingdom of God. Isn't that true? Amen? Amen. The church family, we long to see our young people and all of us together to prosper in the Lord and to grow in his grace and in his love and in his wisdom and in his mercies. You know, isn't that quite something to write? John to write to Gaius, his third epistle, which was quite short. And he was hopeful that he would be able to come and speak face to face. But he said, I wish for you, above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, I'm not preaching a health and wealth message here today. But we are preaching the Word of God. And it does say that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. So today I thought I'd like to just take a little bit of time perusing the scripture and say, what is it, sir, you successful businessman, tell me, what do I need to do so that I may prosper? Let's go to Psalm 1. And as you're turning there, let's consider, what does this mean to prosper? Well, the very simple Strong's definition is to succeed in reaching the prize or the goal. It's to be successful. See, this life is a race, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not just a 100-yard dash, but it's a marathon. It's our entire life pursuit after God and success in reaching the goal. From Vine's Expository Dictionary, it talks about prospering here in 3 John, and the word prosper there has a continuous tense, and it suggests that the successive circumstances of varying prosperity as week follows week, of the prosperity of the physical and spiritual health. And I thought of it in that way as Vine's Expository Dictionary gives the definition of prosper there in 3 John, that it's a continuous tense suggesting successive circumstances of life, that there may be prosperity in our life on Monday, not just on Sunday. There may be prosperity in our life on Tuesday and on Wednesday and week after week, day after day. What it speaks to me of is that there is a persevering and a pressing in to the things of God in successive circumstances and of varying degree that come our way, but that in all things we may prosper. That brings great joy. He says, I rejoice greatly, and the brethren testified of the truth that is in thee, and I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth and walk in love and walk in that path that leads to a life of blessing and fulfillment and that reaches the eternal goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I labor. I strive. I give it all I got. And is there any other way to live a fulfilled Christian life than to give it all we have and pressing into the kingdom of God? Some of the most miserable people are those that don't enter in to the fullness of the Christian life and the blessing and the joys of it. And they're trying to halt between two opinions and walking in half one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That's a miserable existence. God has something so much better for His children. So what is this that we need to do that we may prosper? That we may advance? That we may have success? Are you at Psalm 1? Did I give you that scripture? Psalm 1? Let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here he tells us that the righteous man who walks in the ways of God, he shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the life that I want. I want a life that is prospering with God. A life that is full of blessing and full of grace and mercies and beautiful things. Well, here he tells us that this man, his life is going to be blessed. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I thought maybe before we walk through that psalm, we could look at another scripture. If I can get it here. We think of another man whom the Lord spoke to concerning being prosperous. And that was Joshua. When Moses died, the Lord came and appeared to Joshua. And in Joshua 1, verse 2, the Lord speaking to Joshua said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." And then in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." In God speaking to Joshua, He gave him very clear instructions. And He encouraged him. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I don't think we can overemphasize the power that is in the Word of God through Jesus Christ, and to have our hearts and minds filled with the Word of God. You see a man that is prospering spiritually, or you see a woman that is prospering spiritually, they're in the Word of God. They are studying the Scripture. They are eating and drinking of the Word of God. And they are filling their mind, renewing their mind with the Scripture. God told Joshua that you shall meditate on the law day and night, and to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Now, as we look at this psalm, God gives us some very clear directives. He gives a blessing to the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So before, you just try to clothe yourself with the Word of God, you have to first get rid of the old garments, you know, and take off the old man, the old filthy rags got to first come off. You know, sometimes we try to cover up our sins by just putting something over top. But before we can be a vessel that is meet and prepared for the Master's use, we have to put off those old things. We can't just put on a new robe over top of the old grave clothes. We need to take off the old. There needs to be repentance, and there needs to be a turning away, and to putting on of the new man, putting off the old man with his deeds, which are corrupt after the old carnal nature. So if you want to be prosperous today, you must first be born again. You must first be cleansed and washed from your sins and then be adorned and robed in the righteousness of Christ. So this message today is primarily for the child of God. Now, there are people who are wise enough in business to take and apply biblical principles to their business, and it works. There is some level of success. Though they themselves have not met the Master and surrendered their life to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, so there are some times, you know, it's true that if we follow what the Bible teaches and we're an honest person and we do what the Bible teaches, we may experience a measure of success. But no amount of good works and doing the right things will make us righteous. There's only one that makes us righteous, and that is Jesus Christ, and through His blood and His offering on the cross and our faith in Him. So this morning, this message is to the child of God. And there may be some wisdom there for others as well. If you're not a child of God, I believe there is. The Word of God is applicable to all of us. But I want you to understand, I don't want you to think, okay, so I will make my way prosperous and I will be in favor with God if I do all these things. No, not by works of righteousness which anyone has done can we gain favor with God, or a new birth or an entrance into heaven. We must be born again. But to the new born again child of God, we are jealous that you are rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and on the Word of God, and you're filling your life and your mind being renewed in the Word of God, that it may make your way prosperous as a child of God. That your life may be a life of blessing and growth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That man is blessed. He is happy. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." That's good counsel, isn't it? And see, our wise God gave us those words. And we do well to make our way prosperous. We should do what He's telling us. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Because these evil men are out with a purpose. They sleep not except they have done some mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. So there's all a flood of evil demons that have been cast down on the earth, and the devil himself walking up and down in it, and those who are unsaved and who are in wickedness and in fellowship with wickedness, they walk about seeking for somebody to cause someone to fall. So the Word of God tells us, if you want to be blessed, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't spend your time there. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 26 says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I like the testimony in Jeremiah where he tells us, he says, "I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation." You know, sometimes we have to stand alone. He says, "I sat alone because of your hand upon me." You know, I belong to Jesus. Jesus is Lord of my life. I cannot participate in this. And so he sat alone. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, he tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, in order to have that relationship with God, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, you want to have your life be blessed and be prosperous and groweth in grace and knowledge of Jesus? Well, don't sit with the sinners or the scornful. And don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, lest you misunderstand me here this morning, we are in this world. And Jesus said, I don't pray that you should be taken out of the world, but that you should be kept from evil. So see, we're in the world. And we have a good news message to bring to sinners and to preach the gospel to sinners. And so it's not like we should build ourselves an isolated colony somewhere and come out from them in that way. Rather, we are in the world, but we're not of it. And our life is a testimony and shines out the glory of God and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, that's what we want. The blessing of God that will make our life and our way prosperous. There would be many other things we could add on that side of the scale, but I think we'll go on to verse 2 now. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, the Word of God and the commandments of our Lord Jesus and the commandments in the Word of God, they're not grievous to those who love God. They're joyous. And their life and blessing. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In Psalm 112, he says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. This man's life is going to be blessed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. You know, every commandment that has been given to us from God is for our good. It's for our prosperity. It's for our blessing. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, 47, he says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up in thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Psalm 119, 92, he says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." So how do we walk that out? His delight is in the law of the Lord. I remember one evangelist sharing it this way, that, you know, as you read the Scriptures, sometimes you can go through stages, and sometimes it's just peaches and cream, and you just can't get enough, and you're just, you know, you're just really longing, and, you know, every spare moment that you have, you're just into the Word, and you have your little testament in your pocket, and you're just into the Word. And then sometimes we go through a season where it's a little bit dry, and maybe it's a little bit like dry cereal, and maybe you don't even have milk, and you wonder, you know, what's happening, what's going on. But to the child of God who stays in the Word and has that consistent time in the Word of God will nourish your spiritual man. And so there are times that we need to press in, and we need to be persevering in the Word of God, because it's not always that it just comes automatic, but we have to put to death our own desires and overcome those things that would hinder us, and not just be in the Word when we feel like it, but to be in the Word because it is our meat, it is our sustenance, it is our strength, it is our wisdom, and it is our delight. Keith Daniels shared it like this. He talked about it as our quiet time. You know, our time alone with God. Our time where we sit or walk and come apart and just delight in the Word of God and in His law. Well, he says, in His law does he meditate. He meditates in His law. Isn't that what God told Joshua? Yes, it is. He told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, this matter of meditation, you know, just having a scripture that you memorize, and then you, like Brother Luke said, you wake up with that scripture or that song, that inspiration, just, you know, just going around and around in your heart and your mind. This man, he's going to be prospered. He's going to be blessed. I just want to encourage us, all of us together, to walk in the path that leads to a life of blessing and fullness in Christ Jesus, delighting in the Word of God, hiding it in our heart, and meditating upon it day and night. What a beautiful thing to fall asleep with the Word of God, just assuring our hearts, speaking to our spiritual man, and waking up in the morning with that verse, or maybe something else that God brings to us, and we meditate on it. Well, in order to meditate, we have to have some quietness, don't we? Yeah. We live in a very fast-paced life. There's so many things to rob us of meditation, to steal away our quiet times with God, to fill our minds with other things. Oh, let us fill our minds and be renewed in our minds with the Word of God and meditate therein, ruminating over the Word of God. again going to Psalm, he says, I will sing unto the Lord in Psalm 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. And verse 16, I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Deal bountifully with Thy servant that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Oh, amen. There's the heart of the psalmist. Oh, that's my heart and your heart together, that we delight ourselves in the statutes of the Lord and in His word. And we're asking the Lord, open my eyes and I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And God will do that. It is such a blessing when the Lord quickens the Scripture to our heart. And I know that if you walk with God any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you need an answer from the Lord. You're facing a mountain, or you're facing something where you need wisdom from God. And then the Lord will just drop a Scripture into your heart and into your mind. And it's like, it's just right at the right time. And it just ministers such grace to your heart and strength. Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And he was talking about give attendance to reading and to exhortation and doctrine. You know, it takes discipline. Like I was sharing a moment ago, sometimes we just have to be pretty aggressive to push away other things and to be disciplined to stay in the Word of God and to take that quiet time so that we're not robbed and cheated of the blessing that God has for us. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates therein day and night. Ah, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Beautiful picture. A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ah, like a tree planted by the river. When I was a little boy, and we'd go down to my grandmother Hurst farm down there in Weaverland, and there was the Conestoga Creek running through the property that divided their property from the neighboring property. And down by the creek, along the riverbank, were these huge trees that had been there for many, many years. I don't know, some could have been 100 years old. Very large trunk, and just standing there, they weathered many a storm, and they were just prospering. Why? Because they were by the water source. Sometimes you'd look down at the side of the tree toward the Conestoga Creek, and you could see the root system, you know, going down, where sometimes maybe a flood had come along and washed some of the ground away. But there is those roots, big roots going down into that stream and just drawing up the water. And that tree is prospering. The grass could be brown dry from a severe drought, but the tree's leaves were green and just flourishing because it was at the water source. Ah, yes, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Oh, that's the kind of Christian life I want. The kind of Christian life that is by the source of the river of water and drawing from that source of the river of water so that my leaf doesn't wither. Now, granted, sometimes we go through experiences in life that test us and storms blow. But as that tree that is planted there by that river of water and is getting nourishment when all the rest is drying up, up on the hill around you, and the corn stalks are only this tall, and they're not producing hardly any yield. But all that tree that's down there by the water source It is standing there strong and tall. Oh, that's what I want to be. My life to prosper. Well, where am I spending my time? What am I doing? Am I hanging out with sinners? Am I listening to what they're saying? Am I being influenced by evil men? Or am I shutting myself out with God from time to time to just sit at the feet of Jesus? He is the river of life. He is the fountain of living waters. He's the one that sustains us. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And He meditates day and night. He's like a tree that brings forth His fruit in His season. You know, He's not only just existing and just barely holding on, but He has fruit to give to others. Oh, that's a beautiful picture of a Christian life that is flourishing. I like the way it says, over here in Jeremiah 17 and 7 and 8, it tells us very similarly here. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, that's a lovely picture of the fruitful Christian life. The life that is prosperous. The life that is blessed. He shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Not become anxious or fearful in the year of drought. And shall not cease from yielding her fruit. I know that's what you want. And I know that we're living in that, many of us, in a measure. But oh, God has more for us. I believe He does. Well, in Psalm 1, verse 3 there, He says, whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. His life is blessed. He's walking in the path of blessing. He's hearing the voice of the Master. And He's loving and delighting Himself in His commandments and seeking to walk in obedience to the Lord. The ungodly, they are not so. They are very different. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's no sustenance there. There's no root there. It's a bit like Jesus said, you know, it's like the seed fell on the stony ground and it sprung up, but it had no depth, no root. And they are blown around and tossed. It says, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So if we will follow the counsel of the Lord, we shall make our way prosperous. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, even as thy soul prospers. That you may press in and reach the goal to hear those words someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You have been faithful over little, over a few things. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Again, considering what our Lord holds before us, it'd be a small thing to succeed in business by following a wise businessman's advice. But oh, what greater riches to follow the counsel of the wise, all-wise God, and to have a prosperous, blessed Christian life. Let's turn back to 1 John for a scripture yet here. 1 John 2. And we're starting in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Ah, how did they overcome the wicked one? Because the word of God abiding in them. Ye are strong, because the word of God abideth in you. You are victorious over the wicked one, because the word of God abideth in you. You know, Jesus took the word of God to defeat the devil. When the devil came to Jesus tempting him, he said, "It is written." And oh, my dear brothers and sisters, that we may have the word of God so abiding in us that we overcome the wicked one in the same manner. It is written. God has spoken. I belong to Jesus. No, I will not go with you in this folly or this sin. I belong to Jesus. No, I will not set any wicked thing before mine eyes. I want to attain to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May God richly bless you. Amen.
We sang this little chorus, "The Lord is calling, this is the day, seize the moment." But I would add to that, along with Brother Aaron's thought, it's being willing to continually seize the moment. It's being willing to every day make those choices that you need to make. Praise God for mountaintop type experiences where God just comes down in a very awesome way. We need those, and that is part of the Christian life. But I think one of the great secrets of prospering, as Brother Aaron laid out to us, are those daily choices to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, meditation, to put our thoughts where God would have them to be. And again, it's one of the secrets of that is where our heart is. There's a verse in Psalm, a couple chapters over from Psalm 119, Brother Aaron, in Psalm 122, verse 6, the second half of the verse. Well, I'll read the whole verse, but the second half is interesting. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Then there's a colon. The second half of the verse says, "They shall prosper that love thee." So if you really love God, you're going to make those choices for meditation, to be in His Word, make those things part of the way I am, part of the way I think. And then, yes, you will prosper. You know, there's a connection there. So, amen. Thank you for wise counsel to us, as that, instead of an older businessman, someone who's walked with God a long time has spoken some of these wise words of counsel for us this morning. May God bless His word to us. We'll take a few minutes here if someone else has something to add to the message, some words of testimony or counsel or things that God is working into your life, how God is prospering your life maybe through walking with Him. That would be a blessing to others, to be encouraged. Someone has something to add to the message, you can raise your hand and we'll make a microphone available for you to share.
Yes, thank you, Brother Aaron. That I've been meditating a lot along those lines in my my Christian walk recently, and I was just blessed this week with this verse in James. It says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," bringing out that the law brings liberty. If we look into the Word of God and allow it to be a mirror in our lives, that law of God brings liberty.
Mm-hmm.
As we look therein and continue therein, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And I'm just grateful for this ministry break that I've been having, that I've been in, and I'm just gaining so much ground, I feel, in understanding the Word of God. And also in John, it says, in John 15, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love," and so on. But then it says, these things have I written unto you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And in keeping the commands of the Lord and being a doer of the Word, it brings out there that there's tremendous joy.
Amen.
Fullness of joy in that.
That's right.
So thanks again, Brother Aaron, for the message this morning.
Amen.
I was thinking of the message this morning, and I was thinking about a tendency that I have in my life. From time to time, I attend a seminar or something that teaches me how to do something, as if maybe in business or maybe in any area. And I have this tendency to take what is given to me and filter that thing out and say, "Well, that's a good idea, but for me, I got to change it this way and this way and this way." And then I think it might work for me, until I have completed the whole program. I've changed so much of it that I'm not gaining the benefits of the program that were there, and then I wonder why it didn't work right for me. Anytime I try that in my spiritual life, I'm doomed to fail because I don't have any better ways.
That's right. Amen.
And it's a lot more important in my spiritual life that I don't fail and that I follow all the instructions than it is in any other course of action, any other program, any other seminar, any other lessons I might be taking.
That's right. Thank you. Further words of wisdom for us. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Any other hand I missed? In the back?
Yes, I would just like to ask for prayer for my wife and myself as we find our way in our marriage and our quiet times and all that kind of stuff. It's something that we've been struggling with and we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. And I really appreciate the message this morning. Thanks.
Amen. It's good.
I'm thankful to God for the meticulous instructions He's given us to be prosperous. It's not like He gave us a few words and said, find your way to me. But the instructions we find in His Word proves to us how much He wants us to prosper.
Amen.
And how desperately, how willing He is to make that as clearly as possible for us to follow. And I'm thankful for that. One thing that I want to apply more in my life in the coming year is Scripture memory. That is one of the big points that He points out in throughout Psalms and other books as well. Hide the Word in your heart. It's a very clear instruction that I want to apply to my life to become that prosperous Christian that He wants me to be. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for that message.
Amen.
At times I have found that My Bible reading times have slipped into kind of a routine, or it's one of those dry seasons, and I found was inspired by Sister Dawn Rudolph's little note in her last newsletter, how that she also went through some of those dry times and was just wondering whether the Lord was speaking, and she went through her quiet time journal and found out how many times the Lord had met with her, given her a specific word that encouraged her, and that just further inspired me to do that again. I had done that at times, but hadn't been currently, and I've picked that up here this last month, and it's such a blessing to renew our faith that God wants to speak to me. What nugget can I get from the Word of God for today? And it just, maybe that'd be helpful for somebody else too.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. I wanted to add one thought from the latter part of verse 23 of Romans 14. Just the last phrase there says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I think in pursuing the disciplines, there have been times in my walk when I have pursued disciplines not in faith, but maybe trying to accomplish something in my own strength or something. I don't know how to explain it, but I just there is a faith element in that. If we find we're struggling, we think we're doing the right things and it's somehow not connecting, maybe there is a season where we're not pursuing it by faith. I know that some of us tend to struggle with those things more than others, but there is a beauty to pursuing the things that Brother Aaron was sharing by faith, looking to Christ. And I think that's where the prosperity comes in there. If we're maybe struggling and missing an element, maybe it's we need to be looking to Christ more as the one who will bless us in those things. So, thank you again, brother.
Back. Yeah.
Certainly appreciate that word, Brother Ed. I think that has been helpful to me over the last while. Philippians 2:13 says, that, I believe that's the right reference, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And there's times when I'm thinking about, well, am I going to get out of bed now or wait till later? And that verse comes to mind. You know, it's God that works to will and to do. I can choose, and God will give me the strength.
Amen.
And it's just such a joy to experience that as we walk in that faith.
Amen. It's all for us and our good, isn't it? God has our good in mind, though we may somehow think of that extra, whatever, 5 or 10 minutes as a sacrifice. It's actually for our good, that extra time with God and reading or praying or meditating, whatever it is. And you know, if it's just an extra 10 minutes a day for 6 days a week, that's an hour extra a week, which is, you know, about 50 hours a year, and you know, just all that, those little things, but they add up to more of God in our life and more of thinking the way God wants us to think, and it's for our good.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.